demons, nakedness, breaking chains, and exorcism. What do you think about all this? Sounds a little far-fetched, doesn't it? We might prefer to see this story as something of a myth, or at the very least, an exaggeration of what really happened. For Christians, who see the Bible as the inspired Word of God and so true in what it says, we might get by thinking something like, well, sure, pastor, demon possession happened back then, but that doesn't happen anymore. Why do we think that way? Could it be because we've progressed a lot in the branches of science and so expect a reasonable, rational explanation to everything? Maybe the demonic possession in the New Testament is just a case of misdiagnosis by ignorant eyewitnesses who didn't know better. The demoniac really was nothing more than a raving epileptic or an out-of-control schizophrenic who just didn't have access to the right medication. Is that how we should look at a text like this? Seeing the text in that light is a rejection of what the scriptures actually say, that the man really, truly was demon-possessed. However, it provides some degree of comfort to reduce the problem to being nothing more than a disease, because that means we can treat it with medication and it's in our control, more so than if it is really a demon, because demons and Satan aren't in our control, and that scares us. We would like to deny their existence and retreat to dealing with stuff that we can see, taste, hear, and feel. We lean on our own understanding of the world and think by this understanding, this knowledge, we can combat our problems. If we conclude the topic of demons is best left undiscussed, something of the past, there are Lutheran Christians in other parts of the world who don't quite see it that way, and they have a healthy understanding of Satan, his possession of people. I saw firsthand in Madagascar, when I went there on a trip in seminary, these Lutheran Christians doing an exorcism. It was a vivid new experience for me, but they believed in the power of Satan, and they also believed in the power of Christ, that Jesus was the remedy for this. Christ is the conqueror of Satan, and his armies fall pathetically before the Most High Son of God. And on that point, we have something to learn from our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world who aren't blind to the reality of Satan and his arsenal, and they do not deny his possession of people. Theology is on their side here, because there is nothing in Holy Scripture suggesting that the power of the devil will cease this side of glory. Quite the contrary, St. Peter says Satan is like a lion, always seeking someone to devour. Satan had devoured this man of the Gerasenes. He is naked, destitute, and he's living amongst the tombs. The people cannot control him. He breaks chains and shackles, and he was driven by the demons into the desert. The demons are killing him. They are killing him. And there's nothing he can do. There is nothing the people can do. And so we are reminded, friends, once again, that the flesh is powerless against this enemy of God. Here, killing a man without restraint, even chains could not hold him. Kind of like the works of our flesh cannot make satisfaction for sins or relieve us of temptations. We try to control things on our own, but against this enemy of God, against true spiritual evil, we are powerless. The good news is the demons aren't so bold when Christ appears. At Christ, they cower in fear, begging him not to send them to the abyss. Jesus, our Lord, is in control, and the demons know it. He just speaks, and the unclean spirit departs. By his word, Satan is banished, and the man is saved. He receives clothing, and his mind is restored. And when the townspeople get word of this miraculous event, they are seized by great fear, and they want Jesus to leave. They do not know what to make of him, and they reject him, begging him to depart. But the man from whom the demons had been cast out, he wants to be with Jesus. But Jesus releases him and tells him to go tell everyone what God had done for him. Friends, Jesus speaks and the demons leave. The authority of Jesus is such that he commands the demons where to go, in this case into a herd of swine driven off a bank, and they are drowned in a lake. Christ Jesus drowns the demons and gives clothing to the man who now believes and desires to be with his Savior. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, all of us in here in one way or another struggle with Satan and his demons, and we mustn't be afraid of saying that. Satan is the accuser, and he is the father of lies, and he accuses us of our sins, and he torments us with the thought of hell, the thought that since we are not good enough to keep God's righteous law, then we are destined to eternal damnation and unworthy of God's goodness. You ever heard that accusation before in your mind? And what's scary about it is it's true. We do fall short of God's glory. We do stumble over his law. Like when we get angry and we defend ourselves before our neighbor instead of admitting the painful truth. You are right, and I am wrong. Or when terrible suffering occurs and you're in the midst of it, the pain is real and the voices in your head are loud and unceasing. The temptation there is to believe you are no child of God and you are suffering because of your sin. You ever thought that? Going through a trial, going through some terrible tribulation, and you think to yourself, God is punishing me because of my sin. Satan knows how to tempt. He knows our weaknesses, and he will patiently plot his attack to seize us when we are most vulnerable. His accusations, his lies are loud in our ears, and they torment us. The voice of the Lord, the word of God, roars even louder, and Satan is muzzled. God speaks, and the accusations cease. Christ Jesus in the Gerasenes speaks only a word, and the demons are gone. And his word to you today, Christian, even as the voices in your head are so powerful, so strong, so convincing, the temptations are real. His word to you is peace. Be still. Peace. You are forgiven. You are baptized. Satan has not won. And guess what? He will not win. Christ Jesus has already scored the victory. He is the conqueror of sin, death, and even the devil. And he is your Savior, your Redeemer, your God, who is that mighty fortress in which his children reside, safe and free, forgiven, loved, and at peace. Your trials, your temptations, your suffering, your bouts with temptation and your sin. In spite of those things, there is something you have that not even Satan can rip away, and that is your baptism. Why do I bring that up? I do so because in holy baptism, God has made you a promise that he will not break. And that is, in baptism, God declares you to be buried with Christ in his death. What does that mean? It means your old self, your sinful flesh, old Adam, has been crucified with Christ. Your body of sin has been brought to nothing, killed and drowned in those waters of holy baptism because of Jesus and because of his death and because of his resurrection. One who has died has been set free from sin, writes St. Paul. He writes that to the Romans when he's talking about baptism. One who has died has been set free from sin. Jesus dies to sin at the cross, and it is his death into which you have been baptized. Jesus dies to sin, and so does the baptized believer. Living that penitent life of faith is living by faith in the Son of God who has died to sin at the cross. The baptized believer has been crucified and buried with Christ. And yet as Jesus lives beyond the grave, so do his people. The demon-possessed man saw the demons rush off a bank and a herd of swine who drown in a lake. And the text says then he is sitting at the feet of Jesus and he is clothed and in his right mind. With Christ who is there in baptism because his word is there at baptism, my friends, the demons are truly banished. Satan is defeated. And you have been clothed in Christ even now, wearing his garment of righteousness. And God sees this garment. He sees this righteousness he has put upon you. And he pronounces you forgiven. He bestows upon you his peace, his mercy, and his love. And says, take heart, your sins are put away. Fear not, be of good cheer. When you suffer. When you suffer your trials, O Christian, and you will until you breathe your last, your merciful God and your Savior has already given you something that Satan cannot overcome. Your Lord Jesus has already given you life, and he promises you even now that you possess his mercy, love, protection, and life eternal that he died to give you. That he died to secure for you, and it is yours by faith. By faith, all of these gifts, they are in your possession. By faith, and the promises attached to those baptismal waters. Consider yourself even now dead to sin and alive to God, washed, cleansed. Your old Adam is killed, the body of sin brought to nothing. And so the accusations are useless. Death has lost its power. You are dead to sin, and at the feet of Jesus, you are alive to him. Amen. I mean, the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.